And it's 88 days to the presidential and parliamentary elections. Hello, good afternoon and welcome to the Midday News. The Bulletin is live on Joy 99.7 FM in Accra, live Love 99.5 in Kumasi and myjoyonline.com. We're also live in 16 regions of Ghana, Bishara Radio in Tamale, also Sky in Sunyani and Radio Freed in Nandom. We're also live on X Spaces and Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol, the Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. This afternoon, pressure is growing on government to enforce a total ban on illegal mining as University Teachers Association of Ghana threatens a nationwide strike by the end of September.
And this is crisis, and you don't get that urgency coming from anybody, neither from the president, neither from the leading opposition party, neither from the MPP's presidential candidate, even the Speaker of Parliament.
And we have more for you shortly as the Asantehene is urging all interest groups to remain steadfast in their opposition to illegal mining activities, insisting that doing nothing is not an option.
Whilst I was driving from Cape Cod, I stopped over at the River Pra, and it was so embarrassing. And then if as a nation we live for this to happen to us, we have to fight this, no matter what.
And there's more unfolding as we hear from UTAG on why it intends to punish innocent students for inaction of the state. With barely 3 days for the filing of nominations to end, the New Patriotic Party says it will take strong action on the Wale Wale parliamentary primary stalemate as the Electoral Commission of Ghana declares the second rerun of the polls as null and void.
There must be a document, something that will inform a decision that will be made. And I think that the way manner the General Secretary acted after the ruling, I think that if we should follow such an instance, I believe we'll be able to bring finality to this particular matter.
And we have details as the aspirant, Dr. Kabiru Mahama, calls on the party to be decisive in resolving the standoff.
We have seen the end result of it. This election has been won. It was won on the 27th January 2024. The verdict was a stolen verdict from the court. I did not run away from the process.
And we have more on elections as the former EC boss, Kojo Afarijan, is charging courts to sift through election petitions and also introduce punitive measures for petitions that are brought in bad faith.
Instead of regarding every election petition as a public interest litigation, improbable petitions should attract punitive sanctions. I think our judges can determine which petitions are in bad faith and clearly have no chance.
This afternoon, Afarijan has a warning for the courts that allowing themselves to be captured by political interests may be a danger.
And in sports, Ghana's hopes of qualifying for the 2025 AFCON have been dealt a huge blow after failing to pick up a win in two matches.
Muftau will be back with sports in the next 25 minutes, but also concerns are rising of Ghana's dependency on China, as Chinese leader is pledging some $50 billion United States dollars in new financial aid to Africa, as the China Africa Policy Center argues that more loans from China will not hurt Ghana's economy.
It is about finding partners that understand our development journey. So if we find in those situations that China can play a part, then why not? We can engage China to build those kind of projects. So there's no iota of truth.
And thanks for spending some time with us here on the Midday News. There is intense pressure mounting on government now to impose a total ban on illegal mining in the country as the University Teachers Association of Ghana, UTAG, threatens a nationwide strike by the end of the month if the demand is not met. Their chorus joins that of the Ghana Medical Association, the Nurses and Midwifery Association, as well as the Ghana Bar Association and others to push for a decisive action from government. We'll hear from the president of UTAG shortly, but first, the Asantehene will say to the second says illegal mining is a major environmental threat and questioned the legal system's response to the individuals who pollute water bodies. He was speaking at a dinner last night with members of the Ghana Bar Association at the Mensah Palace.
Galamsey is an environmental enemy for the nation. What could be more serious for any people than to have their entire water supply system at risk?
So,
I think as lawyers, you should find space during this conference to set up a panel to undertake a quick tour of the communities where the scourge is most prevalent, to see the extent of the crisis we face and hopefully deliberate on how the law should respond. As I see it, if an individual poisoned the water supply of a community, he'll be liable for severe consequences under the law. What does the law do when one pours mercury into the same water supply, knowing fully well it can kill?
Zoom.
This issue now requires the collective effort of all sections of society.
Zoom.
To do nothing is no longer an option. The Bar Association, the Medical Association, and the investors, in particular my university, should get together and carve a new path to deal with this emergency. Yesterday, whilst I was driving from Cape Coast, in fact, going to Cape Coast, I stopped over at the River Pra. And it was, I'm afraid I have to tell you that what I saw, the river, it was so embarrassing. And then if as a nation we live for this to happen to us, I don't know. We have to fight this.
Zoom.
No matter what, we have to do this.
Zoom.
And that's Asante Inio, 2482 II. Well, convener of the Media Coalition Against Illegal Mining, Dr. Ken Ashigbe, is also demanding a state of emergency declared around river bodies ahead of the major meeting tomorrow.
We currently are in a crisis, and the crisis response we need to get, we are not getting it. GWCL, their plant there is supposed to be treating 500 NTUs. They've pushed the tolerance level up to 2,000, but currently you're at 14,000. And this is crisis. And you don't get any that urgency coming from anybody.
Yeah.
Neither from the president, neither from the leading opposition party, neither from the MPP's presidential candidate. Even the Speaker of Parliament, where he spoke, they came into Parliament. Instead of them seeing that there was a crisis at hand, and what do we all do? All he did was, you know, mention names and lament like the way you and I are lamenting. Mm. So now we believe that things ought to be done differently. So definitely our posture now for Wednesday's meeting is to be able to bring all of these civil society, other organized groups together and call on the president, who is the commander-in-chief of Ghana's military, who has the power based on the constitution to declare a state of emergency. And we're being very specific over the water bodies and over the buffers to the water bodies up to about 100 meters. It's illegal to mine there, and people are currently mining. You cross the bridges and you can see the chamfans. So the time has come for the president to be able to mobilize all of that power and ensure that we clear all of these people of the waters.
Well, that's the convener of the Media Coalition Against Illegal Mining, Dr. Ken Ashigbe. According to UTAC, illegal mining poses a significant threat to the nation's future. Already, cocoa prayer activity has declined by 45% this year, and illegal mining is estimated to cost the economy some $2.3 billion annually. Furthermore, the Ghana Health Service is also reporting that 35% increment has been experienced in respiratory diseases in mining areas attributed to harmful chemical toxins in local water bodies and soil. They have taken a tough stance on this. Its president, Professor Momodou Akudugu, joins us on the telephone lines now. And Prof, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on the Midday News. I just want to first of all find out from you, are you certain that the threat of strike will indeed be pushed through if government fails to act?
Now, good afternoon to you and to your listeners. Yes. It's something on the table, and we believe that that is a constitutionally available tool for us if we don't get the desired results.
And we know that obviously you've been putting some figures to it, talking about the rise in you know, the respiratory conditions and all of that. But you know, beyond that, we're also looking at, you know, how that is impacting our economy. And looking at all of these facts, you say basically what you intend to do will make students suffer for actions or inactions of the state. If that's the position, don't you feel that you're taking a decision that may be far too stretched, if we should describe it that way?
Well, in desperate situations, desperate decisions or strategic, decisive decisions have to be taken. And we believe that we're at that point, that we're in a desperate situation, we're in a crisis, and we have to take these decisions. It's better, yes, the students will suffer in the rest of it, but it's better to suffer now than in the future. So whatever decisions were taken with the future in mind. And so we believe that it's not it's something that affects all of us, and we have to take this decision, no matter how inconvenient it is for us.
So you intend that this action will be partial, or that will, you know, necessarily affect academic activities? Because that's the essence for which I'm asking the question as to why students would have to suffer for the inaction of the state.
I'm not sure whether students may not even be interested in also joining the strike if we get to that point, because it's something that affects everybody. It's not about my salary, which is about me. It's about something about shortage of water, for example. We have our students and colleagues at the University of Cape Coast when there was acute water shortage, and we are told Ghana Water Company is not able to supply water because of these activities and all that. It's something that affected both students and lecturers, and even people who probably are not part of the university. And so it is not something that we are taking lightly. And so we believe that even students, who knows, may even also join us in the process.
So let's look at the interim measures. What do you intend to do? At least an engagement with government, perhaps, to drum home the message again before your next action?
Yeah, we believe that between now and the end of the month, definitely there should be that kind of high-level stakeholder engagement that we can collectively look at how to resolve this issue. We know that even our umbrella body, the Trade Union Congress, is holding a press conference tomorrow on this same matter. And we just have to do what we have to do. We have to bite the bullet, unfortunately, because this is something that affects everybody. And the earlier we understand that it has no political coloration, it has no racial or religious affiliations, the better for us all to be able to take decisive actions that can stop the distractions of the environment upon which our lives depend.
President of the University Teachers Association of Ghana, that's Professor Momodu Akurugu, joining us on the telephone lines now. Time now for our election headquarters.
Election Headquarters is brought to you by Petrosol Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, CIMA, and the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, AICPA, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness and Beauty, Chopbox Technologies, a Convenient Service, and Youth Bridge Foundation, bridging the gap for positive youth development.
And on our election headquarters this afternoon, our focus is on the former chairperson of the Electoral Commission, Dr. Kojo Afarijan, who says that the judiciary must sift through election petitions and introduce punitive actions against persons who bring frivolous cases. Dr. Afarijan describes some election petitions as unnecessary, and the fact that the courts should have the ability to determine which ones have a chance of success. Addressing the Ghana Bar Association conference in Kumasi, the former EC chair explained that some baseless election petitions have the propensity of damaging the reputation of the courts and the Electoral Commission.
I sincerely think that courts and Electoral Commission must be spared improbable election petitions. Not only do they needlessly waste time, but they can also cause undeserved injury to the reputation of a judge or an Electoral Commission in the minds of the supporters of some party or candidate, irrespective of the verdict. Irrespective of the verdict, it can cause undeserved damage to the reputation of a judge or the reputation of an Electoral Commission in the minds of some supporters of a candidate or political party. Because of this ability to cause undeserved damage to a judge or to an Electoral Commission, I'm suggesting that instead of regarding every election petition as a public interest litigation, improbable petitions should attract punitive sanctions. I think our judges can determine which petitions are in bad faith.
And there's more from Dr. Kojo Afarijan, who's also urging political parties participating in the December 7 elections to exercise caution when dealing with the pink coalition sheets during and after the polls. He emphasized the critical role pink sheets play in the electoral process and urged parties to carefully examine them before considering taking legal action against the Electoral Commission after the results are declared.
The pink sheets are the most important, the only source documents for reconstructing election results. Please take it from me that the pink sheets are the most important, if you like, the source documents for reconstruction of election results. We say elections are won or lost at the polling station. That's what it means. And those pink sheets, duly executed. All right, authentic and duly executed. Yeah, the source document for reconstructing election results.
And there's more from the former chairperson of the EC, who is now warning the courts against allowing itself to be captured by politicians. According to him, the political class knows that one of the surest ways of capturing the political tyranny is to capture the judiciary.
They know that the judiciary is the most powerful institution in the land. And they also know that if you want to dominate the people, if you want to capture the state, dominate the people, you must first capture the judiciary. They know it, but state capture is harmful to democracy. At minimum, it disrupts the constitutional arrangements, distribution of powers to the branches of government, and it leaves democracy defenseless.
And that's the former chairperson of the Electoral Commission, Dr. Kojo Afarijan. And it's a good time now to take you to the Ashanti Regional Capital, Kumasi, where the BAC conference is still underway, where the likes of Dr. Kojo Afarijan have been speaking. Also, heard from the Ashanti in Otunfo Seitu, the second time now to speak to Nana Aljima, who's there for us. Nana, ahead of this exercise, we know that lawyers are equally voting to elect new executives. The outgoing president is expressing some concerns about monetization in their own Ghana Bar Association elections. Tell us more. We've lost Nana Aljima there, but the president of the Ghana Bar Association, Mr. Boafo, has been explaining the trend within the Ghana Bar Association.
It is rather unfortunate that our conduct and campaign leaves much to be desired. We hear of partisan alignments, monetary inducements, virtually post on WhatsApp platforms, outlandish promises that cannot be possible within the provisions of the GBA Constitution. Unfortunately, some of these unsavory matters have found its way to the mass media. It should be of great concern to every well-meaning member of the GBA. The GBA is a noble association of learned persons, and there is no place in the association for such conduct, which may be permissible in the realm of partisan politics. We lose our voice if we also behave like politicians. We must understand this basic principle. The GBA leads, the GBA does not follow.
Well, so that's the president of the Ghana Bar Association, Yao Bafo Achampo, speaking to his colleagues there within the Ghana Bar Association in the Ashanti region. But it's also a good time to stay within that region because the overlord, Ashanti Ini Otunfo Seitu II, has called on political parties to build trust in the Electoral Commission ahead of the elections. He, however, acknowledges the need for vigilance. The call is coming as the National Democratic Congress prepares to embark on a nationwide strike in demand for a forensic audit into the voters register on September 17. We'll hear from the Ashanti Ini shortly, but first listen to the chairperson of the National Democratic Congress, Johnson Asiedu Nketiah, announcing the nationwide protest after submitting the forms on behalf of the party's flag bearer, John Dramani Mahama.
Those of you who have been asking us, if they don't comply, what would you do? This is your answer. On the 17th of this month, the NDC is embarking on a massive nationwide demonstration in all 16 regional capitals. Descend on the Electoral Commission offices, and we in Accra will descend to the headquarters.
An apologies there. It's time now to hear from the Domahini, I should say, Osagyefo Ajiman Bedu II, who's urged the Electoral Commission to urgently deal with the concerns about incorrect voter transfers and also missing names in the register to stop the potential violence in the upcoming elections. He said this when the National Democratic Congress flag bearer, John Mahama, visited him on his tour of the Bono region at another event. John Dramani Mahama urged party supporters to join the protest scheduled scheduled for September 17. Listen.
NDC is going to demonstrate in every town that has an EC office. Our chairman has announced it. NDC, you wear your T-shirt and you go and demonstrate to the EC office so that we can put pressure on them to do their job and do what they have to do in order to ensure peaceful and transparent elections.
Well, addressing members of the Ghana Bar Association at the dinner at Mesha Palace, the Ashanti Hinne Otunfor Saint Tutu II called on political parties to build trust in the Electoral Commission. He, however, acknowledges the need for vigilance.
However much one may distrust the individuals in charge of the electoral process at any given time, it has been demonstrated that changes will occur in spite of the individual operatives.
So,
the evidence of our history is that the system does produce the outcome that reflects the voice of the people, and we remain ready, as always, to play our part to protect the integrity of the process when the need arises.
So
here again, I will appeal for a lowering of mistrust. Heightened vigilance is, of course, necessary, but we need to restore confidence between contesting political parties and candidates.
Well, the overlord is also indicating his belief in Ghanaians to use the democratic system.
Ghanaians have arrived where we are, not by accident, but through the force of history. In our first quarter of a century of existence as a nation, we had tried almost every system of governance conceived by man. We've had a one-party state, we've had military rule of three different types, and we have experienced democracy with the power of the people to choose their government through the ballot box. However discreditable one may think of the people, I can see no circumstances in which Ghanaians will sacrifice the freedom of today, the prospect of changing their government by power of the thumb, any other alternative.
Well, so that's the Asantehene Otunfor Osei-Tutu speaking there. You're listening to the Midday News on Joy 99.7 FM and Laugh 99.5 FM in Kumasi. Still to come, concerns arising over Ghana's dependency on China as the Chinese leader pledges some $50 billion United States dollars in financial aid to Africa. The China-Africa Policy Center is arguing that more loans from China will not hurt the economy. We'll tell you
It is about finding partners that understand our development journey. So if we find in those situations that China can play a part, then why not? We can engage China to build those kind of projects. So there's no idea of truth.
When budgets are tight and money difficult to come by, you want to be sure you get the best value for your money. These are not times to be spending money fixing expensive engine problems because of cheap fuel and lubricants. Drive to a Petrosol station today and buy your quality fuel and lubricants, and rest assured of fuel that lasts long and lubricants that prevent expensive engine problems. Hear the sound. Petrosol, clean fuel in full quantity.
The luckiest
*712#
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah.
Here's to the friends who dialed *712# and found no regrets. To the investors who struck gold. To the health workers who diagnosed luck with precision. To the tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. To the passionate fan who couldn't contain his joy. To the seamstress who turned her hard-earned stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, here's to you. Your next big win is right here.
Luck is everywhere.
Dial *712# now. Join in the luckiest winning celebration every 1st July 2024. Over dial *712# now. I can swear to ticket as a group, individual, and also even as a community. Now, win is the car cashier, prizes are cashier in the community draw, or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with *712# now. Join in the winning streak now.
The luckiest
*712#
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah. The luckiest.
And of course, the discussion is going on as to whether it's Musba or Mubarak who's coming in for sports. Apologies there for calling you Musba, but it's part of the game, isn't it?
Exactly. Yes.
What's coming up in sports?
Yeah, so yesterday's 1-1 draw against Niger leaves the Black Stars in third place with just 1 point in Group F. Angola lead the pack with 6 points, while Sudan are in second with 3. Now, the Black Stars face a challenging task of winning all 4 remaining matches in the qualifiers to secure a top 2 finish and qualify for next year's AFCON. However, football expert Osu Bempa believes the team no longer has the quality needed to compete at the highest level.
The 2010 team, goalkeeper for goalkeeper, take Olele and compare whether the standing of his kind in the current team. John Pencil, and see whether you have a John Pencil in the current team. The two center backs, either Mensah or Jonathan or Bosa, whether we have them. So that is the way you do. Probably apart from Kudus, none of these players could even start for any of the teams in 2010 and 2006. Let's be honest with ourselves. We don't have an Azerbaijan, a quarter of Azerbaijan. We don't have a Suleimantari. We don't have a Silimapia. So Some generations
will
be lucky, and sometimes coaches also benefit from some of these things.
Yeah, also Ben Pader speaking to Love FM. That's your sports blessing.
Thanks, Mubarak. I got it right this time. And of course, you're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM and Love 99.5. We take you now to the governing New Patriotic Party, as it says. It expects to take a tough stance on the stalemate in its Wale Wale parliamentary primary following Monday's chaotic election rerun. A high court in Tamale annulled an earlier primary held in January after the incumbent MP challenged the decision. But the rerun yesterday ended inconclusive after a ballot box was snatched and ballot paper is also mutilated. We'll hear from the New Patriotic Party's Deputy General Secretary, Haruna Mohammed, shortly. First, I want you to listen to the Northeast Director, Gabriel Menu, who works with the Electoral Commission, explaining why there was no winner due to the irregularities.
After the sorting, we saw that some of the ballot papers are badly damaged in such a way that you cannot determine it for candidate A nor candidate B. As you cannot, some of the ballot papers are damaged, and for that matter, you cannot determine. You see that we have to stop there.
And that's the Northeast Regional Director of the EC, Gabriel Menu. The NPP's Deputy General Secretary, Haruna Mohammed, says the party will meet on a report to be presented by the Wale Wale Elections Committee and decide the way forward.
The party, through NEC, had designated Alhaji Masaudu Osman as the chairman for the Elections Committee. We would wait for him to bring a report before NEC or the party, and the party would decide through NEC on the way forward. Until then, the National Party might not be able to communicate until this particular report is brought. And based on the report, a discussion will be made and a decision will be made by them.
Haruna Mohammed is the Deputy General Secretary of the New Patriotic Party. We stay on the governing party because he says any of its MPs or members who now file nominations to contest as independent candidates in the 2024 elections will be deemed to have forfeited their membership.
I think in law they say rep ipsa licitor. You've just read a provision of our party. If indeed she has filed, it means that she's an independent candidate in the elections, and virtually that will be the act.
And that's Haruna Mohammed, who's Deputy General Secretary of the NPP. Already we know that MP for Aguna West, Cynthia Morrison, on Tuesday has filed to contest as an independent candidate, with the MP for Sohun Kojo Bafo also expected to do same, which will now mean that they have forfeited their membership in the party. We'll bring you updates in our subsequent bulletins. But we are your election headquarters. And time now to talk about the growing fears that Ghana may become more indebted to China in the wake of Beijing's announcement of additional credits worth some $50 billion United States dollars to Africa. China remains the largest bilateral creditor to Ghana, prompting calls for governments need to take immediate steps to wean the economy off the dependence on China. However, the China-Africa Center says that dealings with Ghana have solely been based on economic interests. There's more in the following report.
The 2024 Forum for China-Africa Cooperation has wrapped up in Beijing, with China's President Xi Jinping pledging additional financial aid of $50 billion United States dollars to African countries. The credit line is deemed crucial for Ghana, which is currently grappling with the sovereign debt crisis and looking forward to the likes of Beijing for more support.
We also value very, very much our relations with China. They've been strong relations for over 60 years. In fact, I think that we're one of the first countries in Africa to have established diplomatic relations with China. And ever since then, we have counted on you as one of our most reliable friends.
But there is growing scrutiny of China's economic assistance to Ghana, while critics lay claim